Brucey. I'm a retired teacher. I'm 91 years old, and this is how I live United. I say retired, but not really. Once a week, I read books to children as part of United Way's education program. Reading to a child creates links between language and literacy. It creates a bond between grown-up and child. And believe it or not, it prepares them for a better academic future. Oh, we read about frogs and flies and pigs with wings, all sorts of juicy stuff. It's a joy to watch all those little faces. I figure I have the time and they have the need. And I've always believed that if we're not here to help each other, then what are we here for, really? My name is Ruth Russi. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Tonight, it's local college basketball on the air as Napa Valley College Storm hosts College of Marin. 5:15 airtime tonight for the broadcast. Napa Valley College and College of Marin tonight on KVON. It's a little team
day. I'm a little too gone. Hey, everybody, this is Toby Keith for RAD. For many of us, drunk driving is something that other people do. Certainly not someone I know. When you see someone who's had too much to drink about to get behind the wheel, ask them to give up the keys. Always choose a designated driver. Music lives, you should too.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hola, mi Valle. This is Isela Martin, the host of the new KVON show, La Hora with Isela. Tune in to 1440 AM or stream KVON.com every Thursday morning at 9 AM to learn and listen about our current topics, events, and happenings that affect all of us here in our local community. That's La Hora with Isela every Thursday morning at 9 AM on 1440 AM, KVON, or streaming at KVON.com.
You don't buy a TV at a car dealer, and you don't buy groceries from a repair shop. So don't look for authentic Mexican food anywhere but Red Hen Bar and Grill. At the Red Hen Bar and Grill, Mexican heritage chefs are cooking authentic Mexican food. And if you don't see it on the menu, ask for it. That's authentic. The Red Hen Bar and Grill is opened at 6 a.m. daily with a full breakfast menu until 11, followed by lunch and dinner and menudo on the weekends. Come by on Friday nights for bilingual karaoke from 9 p.m. to closing. From Shake It Off to Despacito, you can sing loud and proud at Napa's own Red Hen Bar and Grill.
I like beer because it is good. I drink beer because I should. If there was a song to sing, I sing it and beer you bring.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! It's good!
And now, from Napa Valley, California, it's Beer Nights featuring brewmaster Colin Kaminsky.
You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. It's another beautiful beer drinking day here in the Napa Valley. A little fog that's going to burn off this morning. Good morning, Big Daddy Love.
Especially this time for like holiday season. I know it's mostly over, but it kind of stuck and resonated in my mind to make some beer cocktails because I have beer and I also am a bartender. So I mixed the two together for friends and family that were over. And I got a couple that family members liked, so I brought them for you today, Colin.
That sounds delicious. I see there's a little bottle of Chandon champagne over there.
Yes, there is. That we're going to mix up that with a beer. And you wouldn't think that champagne and dark beer would go together. The recipe is called Black Velvet, and it's with champagne. And I use Guinness, and it came out awesome. So if you want to start with that, we can start with that. I also did another research product. I have some mead. And I don't know if you've ever made that before. I'm trying to think. Maybe you have. Have you made mead?
Yeah, lots of mead. Yeah.
Okay. So how? What is the basic recipe? Like, if I was going to make some and I had the right equipment, how would I go about that?
Well, so the mead's come in two general categories. One we would call a dry mead, and dry meads are around the same residual sugar as champagne. So for a dry mead, you would do about 10 pounds of honey to about 10 gallons of water. You warm it up to just about 180 degrees, just enough to sanitize it. At that point, you can drop in a little bit of acid, like a little bit of tartaric acid, like winemakers use, or a little bit of citric acid, just something to give it a touch of tartness. Then you cool it down, add your yeast, put it in a nice sanitary container like a carboy, and let it sit for months.
You said a carboy?
Carboy. That's
What's that?
6-gallon glass bottle.
Okay. So just anything, any big container?
Yeah, that you can sanitize easily. Okay. So glass is nice. You remember the old water bottles that were glass before they had the plastic?
Yeah, plastic takes over the world.
You can still buy the glass ones, and that's what homebrewers like to use.
Yeah, so I got that, and I was doing a mix with like 25% mead and then 75% IPA. Or pale ale, either one. They work great. So we'll try those out later, too.
That sounds delicious. You know, a black velvet is as old as I can remember.
It's very new to me. So
yeah, they're like black and tans. They've been around since the invention of Guinness, I think.
And you know, as long as I've been bartending, I've never had anyone ask for one.
Really? Ever.
Ever. So you would think that, you know, if they've been around forever and they're as popular as you say, that somebody in the 24 years of bartending, would have asked for a black velvet. I cannot remember anyone ever asking me to put champagne with a dark beer together. So, and it's delicious. Anyone out there that has champagne probably left over or some bottles from New Year's, you know, because all of a sudden everyone starts ordering champagne like they've been drinking it their whole lives right after New Year's because it's fresh in their brain. So somebody out there might have a Guinness and a champagne. Go ahead and mix them together. I do about half and half on that one.
Yeah, that's a traditional
recipe
is half and half.
So we want to start with that, or you want to start with the mead?
Well, you know, how about if we start with a little bit about SF Beer Week here? So,
okay. And that starts when?
Right now is when SF Beer Week people start making their plans because things will be selling out quickly. SF Beer Week starts on the event starts Saturday, February 10th, I think. Yeah. And go all the way. Oh, no, we've got some even earlier. I think of it as the 9th to the 16th, but they run it for 10, 12, 14 days now.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to get bigger once people like it. And, you know, San Francisco is going to boost their tourism and beer and food and, you know, a lot of stuff that San Francisco is known for. Why not run an extra couple of days? They got enough breweries now.
There's hundreds of events. And let's see. I've got the press release over here. There's some fundraiser stuff that it's going on this year for the fires, which is good. They've got the Russian River fire beer has just blown up. Last I heard, over 200 breweries have produced it worldwide.
So it's a recipe that they put out online?
It's a recipe that they built with Bear Republic. They gave it out to anybody who wants to produce it, and they suggested that the proceeds go to a specific fire fund. And that's really exciting.
That's a cool way to do it. That way everyone can do it. You know, it's not like a secret, you know, all coveted beer recipe that's hidden somewhere that only certain people know how to make. They put it out there online and then you go make it and then you put some proceeds to the fire, which is awesome.
So I'm on sfbeerweek.org, and that is the official website of SF Beer Week. The grand opening gala is set for Friday, February 9th on the San Francisco waterfront at Pier 35. So that's the official kickoff.
Basically a week after Super Bowl, that's when all this is going down.
As you explore the schedule, you'll notice several of the oldest beer week traditions. One of my favorite, the San Francisco or the Bistro's 17th annual Double IPA Fest. That's a difficult one to get into. Get your tickets early. Celebrator Beer News 30th anniversary party will be nearly impossible to get tickets for, so definitely get those today if you want to go to that. Sour Sunday is back at Jupiter and Triple Rock. I haven't been to that one yet. So there's lots of really good ones. The other thing that coincides with San Francisco Beer Week that's really exciting is most of the Bay Area breweries release their triple IPAs. Drake's has a release date on this calendar. Russian River always does their release. Heretic Brewing has their release on this calendar.
Evil 3?
Evil 3.
What is the, do you know which one the Russian River is? It's their...
Pliny the Younger.
Pliny the Younger, yeah. The most, like, influential beer.
The most famous beer in California.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. And that one brings a lot of lines, and I've had some people say they waited, you know, a couple hours at least just to get in. And
well, so
you can get in sometimes.
Yeah, so what they do is they only release so much a day. Last year it was 5 barrels a day, which is 10 kegs worth of beer. And once that's sold out, even if you're in line, you go come back the next
day. Yeah, I heard they are going to be doing half growlers at Heretic for the Evil 3.
Oh, that could be. I know Russian River stopped growlers.
Yeah, they stopped, and then
a long time ago, and it was just too hard for them.
And then last year when I went to Heretic, they were probably getting low, so you could only drink the Evil 3 there, which was fine with me. But I kind of wanted to take one and bring it on the show, but they wouldn't do it, so they wouldn't feel it.
You know, I'm pretty lucky with access to Evil 3. Evil 3 is a collaboration of three brewers. Mitch Steele, who was the head brewer at Stone for 18 years. Mike McDowell, who's a really famous
home brewer. Is he still at Stone?
No, he just opened a new brewery in Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
Big, big production brewery in Atlanta, Georgia. So,
cool.
Destination brewery, big tap room, restaurant, big production facility. So that's going to be exciting. I can't think of Mitch's brewery's name yet. They just had their grand opening in the beginning of January. And obviously Jameel are the three brewers. And so it's always an exciting thing to see. They do something a little different every year, which I like. They're still exploring the style and seeing what they can do.
Last year's was really good.
It was my favorite.
The year
favorite.
Before, it was okay, but last year's was really, really good.
Yep, last year's was my favorite, and I made sure to call Jameel and tell him so, and he said, yeah they liked it too, and they were going to kind of stick down that path. So
good.
They had their brew date. They posted some of their brew date pictures on social media a couple weeks ago. So I know it's sitting there in the fermenters, or just waiting to come out.
All right. I think we should drink a beer, Colin.
Okay, John. Why don't you drink a beer?
Which one do you think?
You pick. You're guiding the show.
Let's go light, and then we'll go dark. So we'll go with the I just picked anything out, anything IPA. This is a Drake's. And then we'll do a this one calls for 75% IPA or pale ale, either one. And then 25% of the meat. And the meat is pretty sweet. I guess it's because all the honey that you have to use to make it. And also, this one came with a couple bags that were on it, which is pretty cool. I don't know if you know how to pronounce that one right there.
Chaucer.
Chaucer's mead. And I guess it's more of an old style. A lot of people, it's won the gold medal for the California State Fair, so it's pretty much out there. I got it at Rayleigh's. But it came with a couple bags of spices and stuff that you, so I put it in the water and I let it simmer for a while. And then I poured it back into the bottle, and it's really tasty. It is sweet though, but then when you put the hoppy IPA with it, it matches very nicely. If you want to do something, because I don't know about you, Colin, but I drink a lot of beer on my days off, and I work in a brewery, so I'm always drinking beer. And every once in a while, I'll get tired of it because I've been drinking it so much, and I just want something a little different. But I usually you know, I stay away from the hard alcohol just because it can take you down a certain way that you don't need to go half the time. But I think this is a nice compromise of, like, mixing. I guess it is it just called mead, or is it an actual wine? Or, I mean,
mead? No, it's called mead.
Yeah, and what is it under though? Is it under liquor or wine? It's wine, right?
It's malt wine. You need a brewer's license, or you need a winemaker's bond, rather.
Okay.
To make it, and mead is quite fascinating. It predates wine and beer in every culture that we can date it. Uh-huh. And honey would have been very valuable, so to waste it on an experiment would have been crazy expensive. But we do see it as the oldest beverage. It's usually associated with in caste cultures. It's usually associated with the religious caste. The pharaohs would drink it. But the merchant class would drink wine, and the working class would drink beer in ancient Egypt.
And you can play with this too. A lot of, like, for my mom, I made it a little more like more mead than beer, because she's not really super high on the beer, but she loved it. And it's kind of a cocktail taste. To me, it's kind of sweet, but then when you add in the IPA, it kind of matches well. And you also have the carbonation from the beer, which is unusual for, like, wine.
The spices here sure make it a holiday feel.
Yeah.
Lots of.
And you can, and they said you could either drink it warm or you can drink it cold. We're drinking it cold right now. But you can also drink it warm, you know, right after dinner or whatever. Kind of a dessert type beverage. But the label has, you know, like you say, the old school label with, like, the knight and the maiden on the back with a chalice, and he's riding on a white horse. So it gives you that, you know, mead's been around a while type feel from the label.
One of my favorite mead legends, not sure if it's a legend or how much basis in truth it has, but mead was a traditional gift, wedding gift.
Dilly dilly?
It's a traditional wedding gift, and the idea was that you would take all the mead from the wedding and you would go on a vacation for 30 days. And if you were blessed, you came back with child. And that was your honeymoon. 1 month of mead.
Wow. This is very interesting, Colin. So you're telling me that's where honeymoon came from?
That's what I believe, yeah.
Because you have your honey and then you...
And you go away for a full moon.
Yeah.
Because that's how you guarantee a pregnancy.
Wow. That would be a good time. Yeah, I can see how that happens. I mean, there's probably a lot of babies after Super Bowl if Minnesota wins this year, right? In Minnesota, a bunch of Minnesotans are going to be born on the day. It's kind of funny.
John, is it Super Bowl season?
It is, but we don't know who's in the Super Bowl yet. But you know, they always like to follow the punchline where they, you know, this year is what everybody wants is Minnesota to play in the Super Bowl because it's in Minnesota. First time ever they're having Minnesota. Or an NFL team play in the team that they're actually hosting the Super Bowl. So I'm pretty sure they're going to be there because, you know, the NFL's, I don't know if it's totally fair, but, you know, they like their storyline. So.
Oh, come on, John.
I'm sure they're going to throw a couple flags.
You don't think
to make sure they get
they're
in.
Throwing the game.
You know, who knows? When there's money involved, anything's possible. Believe me.
Where do you stand on Deflategate?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that thing is kind of like you can do what you can do. If you don't get caught, then it's good, right? They got caught. So, I mean, everybody tries to get the advantage, you know, and competition. I mean, I always heard this when I was growing up. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Do you think
they just got caught a couple times on two different things, you know, but hey, you can't take back a Super Bowl ring. So,
do you think the NFL should own all the balls, or do you think it should be owned by the home team?
Well, there's a lot of things. I think first of all, they should put a chip in the ball. Then you take a lot of these human errors out of the game. I mean, we have the technology to put a FRD chip and a tracking chip and GPS and all kinds of stuff. We could do, but for some reason, they like to keep the game into human hands, which is interesting because humans can be corrupted and they can be flawed, so it'd be awesome if they could just do it all computerized, you know, with all the cameras we have and all the technology. You think it'd be already be done a while ago, but you know, you can't pay off a machine, so there you go.
Yeah, I know, but you should reprogram them. So.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Put a virus in them. So how do you like this mix anyway? Do you like
it? You know, I think I would have liked it more without the spices. But yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I put more spices in there. I did some clove and I did some cinnamon and
try to make it more. Those are all those spices that I'm thankful for every January 1st. I'm thankful they're gone.
Pumpkin spice, baby. We have some pumpkin spice beers. For me, it's something different, you know, because like I said, it's hard to drink beer every day that's, you know, the same, you know, and I don't like to switch around too much. I'm not a big wine guy, but I do drink wine on occasion, but, you know, there's bottles that are just sitting around in my house that I've gotten from people that work in the Napa Valley and the vineyards and, you know, everything from the guy who made the wine to the guy that brings the wine to the guy that sells the wine, you know. they make good tips, but... You know, I can only drink so much of it.
So, going through the SF Beer Week schedule here, and there's at least 50 Meet the Brewer events coming up. Yeah. Firestone Walker, they're not Bay Area. Firestone Walker's doing a big one at
Paso Robles.
At Cultivar. Boy, just every restaurant in San Francisco, it seems like, has got something going on. Drake's is doing their cellar release at the Drake's Brewery. 21 Amendment. I don't know. It's going to be exciting. It's San Francisco Beer Week's just crazy. And if you've never gone to an event, just pick
one.
If it's your first year, pick one event and get out there.
Pick one and you'll probably fall into two just walking around and asking the bartenders and the brewers and stuff.
Or what usually happens to me is one's finishing and you're having customers. A conversation and somebody says, oh, hey, I got to be over here really quick. Like, you want to come with me?
Yeah. Oh, where are you going? Hey, hopefully she's a girl, right? Come on.
You know, I only have one girl in my life.
The single people out there, not us. But bar hopping and beer hopping and San Francisco sounds like fun to me. Get on a trolley car maybe even. Right.
Yeah. I'm trying to go through.
You know
this
what?
List.
You're looking at it too much.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
But I mean, if you had to pick one, I guess you'd probably pick the double secret one. That
you know the Bistro Double IPA Fest is a fun one, but also Toronado has one that they do too. That's just it's a do not miss if you're the ultimate beer geek. You have to go to a big beer event at Toronado.
And that's located, you know?
In the Haight-Ashbury.
Okay.
I can't find one right now.
Yeah, but I mean, they have so many different ones. And this is all pretty much the week after the Super Bowl's over. You know, once football's over. And the next weekend, you go out and drink a beer after you've been probably drinking beer during the whole Super Bowl. Really, I mean, what goes better with beer nacho? I saw like something on the internet that said they go through like so many. I guess one of the biggest things is guacamole, you know, like tons and tons of avocados are all thank goodness we live in California where they're pretty plentiful. But I guess guacamole is on has to be one of the main dishes I guess for the chips.
Which is kind of weird because it's a little out of season now.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting South
it's
American
guacamole. It's probably getting frozen guacamole. You know what I don't like is when they do the guacamole with the sour cream and they mix it just to make it look bigger, and sell it cheaper. It's like, oh, man, this has the sour cream and it's not real guacamole.
You know, and I'm a little bit older than you. I remember when in America, guacamole always had sour cream. And it wasn't until the Mexican culture was a little bit more evolved here and
pretty much all you need is a Haas avocado.
That we started.
Salsa.
Well, in Michoacan, where my friends are from, and most of your Spanish speaking friends are from, what I see them do a lot is just cube all of the ingredients. So, cubed onion, cubed tomato, cubed avocado. Cilantro, lime juice, salt, and then just gently stirred together, and then you leave one avocado pit in the middle.
Yeah, so it won't go bad, right?
So it won't go bad. Yeah,
I do that. That's a good trick out there, beer nut fans.
And that's the traditional way I see it served, and that's very different from the mushed up mess that.
Well, speaking of lime and salt, do you ever put that in your beer? Because there's some beers that I will.
Yeah, no, not me.
No.
If it needs lime and salt, I'll pick a different beer.
Yeah, but who doesn't like salt sometimes? You know, it's like a craving you have. Like, there's some days I just want to, like, put some tomato juice in beer and if I think a beer
needs salt, I order a side of fries.
Potato chips. So, I don't know if you know this, Colin, but my other beer that I brought, well, I brought two other beers, but... we're going to make a cocktail out of the Guinness, but I do have a release, a 200th anniversary export stout, which is made by Guinness, 200 years in America. And it's brewed with a black patent malt, whatever that means.
Black patent is one of the darkest of the roasted malts.
Okay. And so they did a release of a new Guinness at St. James Gate in Dublin. So I've actually tried this, and it's a little bit higher in alcohol. It's 6%, and I think normally the Guinness is like 4 or 5 or something. It's kind of low usually. I can open this up because I've already tasted this. I would like your input on it and just to know.
So I just got sent a link from a beer nut here.
Yeah.
NapaCraftBeerFestival.com. On January 20th, event date and time, 1 p.m., downtown Napa at the Opera House. Initial brewery list, new entrants added daily. And all the pictures are loading slow, but...
Yeah, you know who I heard is going to be there, right?
I can see Lagunitas, Alley 6.
Downtown Joe's is going to be there.
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is going to be in the Oxbow.
At the Opera House down the street. At the Opera House, yep, on Main there. Sonoma Springs. Oh, wow. As that webpage loads, I will
So is the Opera House considered Blue Note now? How does that work?
So Blue Note manages the Opera House.
Okay, so if you want to go to this festival, you probably have to call...
I would go to NapaCraftBeerFestival.com.
Okay, so are they just renting the room? Or is it a Blue Note event?
I have no idea. I'm just hearing about it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Carneros Brewing, 10 Barrel Brewing, Five Sons Brewing. I haven't even heard of Five Sons. St. Clair Brown, we've had them on the show. Humboldt County, Mad River Brewing, Junction Brewery.
Did I see Barrel Brothers on there too?
I haven't yet. Stone Brewing, Heretic. Altamont Beer Works, Bear Republic.
So they're starting a little bit early.
Sonoma County Brewing, Farm Fresh to You, Trade Brewing, we just had them on.
Yeah.
Carpe Diem, Napa Smith, Anderson Valley.
Had them on. Had them
Works,
on. Had them on.
Napa Palisades.
Had them on.
Tannery Bend, we've had them on.
Had
we've
them had on.
Mare Island on. Fig Mountain Brew. Which I've had some nice beers from them recently.
Fig Mountain?
Fig Mountain.
I've never heard of them.
Moonlight Brewing.
Had them on.
North Coast Brewing. And I've got three pictures still to load, so.
Wow. I heard Downtown Joe's going to be on there, so.
I'll let you know if your logo's on the
page. Yeah, I don't know if it's on there, but I've heard they were going to send over a keg or something.
Drake's Brewing.
So what do you think about this beer, Colin? Have you even got into it yet?
I haven't even got into it. I'm just so excited. There's a big craft beer fest in Napa.
And it's actually starting the week before Super Bowl, which is kind of cool. January 20th.
It's the 20th.
So this weekend. Today's the 17th.
Right? Is it really?
Yeah. See how quick it goes? Happy New Year, Colin. Half the month is gone. You don't even know what day it is. Yeah, it's this weekend.
Is today Wednesday?
Yes, today is Wednesday. The new Beer Nut time is 9 o'clock.
Don't we have a radio show we're supposed to do today?
Yeah, here we are. So try this 200th year anniversary export stout. Hopefully you guys can find it out there. It doesn't seem like, I don't know, it's definitely a limited release. To me, it's very sweet smelling. I taste a little bit of a malt chocolate factor, which is usually not in the Guinness beer. Guinness is pretty, I guess you would just say, how would you say a Guinness tastes? Like mostly clean and no really taste. It's kind of a mouthfeel that you usually get from Guinness. I would say it's
the original light beer.
Yeah.
Even though it's a dark in color.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the beers that's very easy. I mean, there's probably no beer room that I know that it's not going to pour a Guinness. It's not going to be in their tap lineup because it's so popular. No one I know really has never had a Guinness, and we have it at Downtown Joe's, one of our three only taps that we allow other beer on, and they're one of them. Just goes to show you how popular they are. So
the cost of the Napa Craft Beer Festival here is $25 for a general admission, which includes 8 tasting tickets, $55 for unlimited tasting tickets, $75 for VIP, which gives you an extra hour of tasting.
Before or after?
I bet it's before.
Yeah. And what time is
before?
What time is this going down?
So the VIP starts at 12 and ends at 4. And then concierge for $125, plus you get access to a special lounge, blah, blah, blah. Ah, interesting. And then there's still exhibitor badges left and all sorts of stuff on Napa Craft Beer Festival.
Well, it's good. They're having a craft beer festival that we know about now, Colin. Maybe we should go. Then we can report on it next week.
You know, one of the things,
field trip.
One of the things that we've always talked about doing is taking the digital audio recorder.
Yeah, just record it. I like this beer. Like,
and just doing, you know, 5-second interviews with a bunch of people and then editing them together and say, hey, right, this is what the beer fest was like.
Or we could just come back and report on it here.
I actually want to do that for the beer circus.
Yeah, if we can. Yeah,
I think we could cut together a really fun hour from the beer circus.
Probably more than an hour. It'd probably have to be a two episode show. So, what do you think, Colin? Have you dissected this beer into your?
You know, I like it. It's really light, like a Guinness.
Yeah.
It has just enough roasty character, but it's not overwhelming. It's just kind of like a little higher alcohol version of Guinness.
Yeah, I like it. I was surprised that I would like it this much just because, you know, most of the beers I like are higher in alcohol. They're more like an Imperial Stout, you know, the nine pluses. But this one is really good, and a lot of people who drink dark beer are going to like this one, especially if you like Guinness because it's similar. To me, a little more chocolate sweet taste than a normal Guinness. We do have a number of Guinness. We should probably taste it next.
Hold on 1 second. You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. We're going to be right back.
My name is Mira. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way to make the community stronger. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
On Saturday, February 3rd, the oldest winery in Napa, Charles Krug, will pair their portfolio of celebrated wines with the culinary talents of the Meritage Resort & Spa's executive chef, Ryan Ruff. Come enjoy a 5-course tasting menu paired with 6 Charles Krug wines, guided by Janice Mondavi, who will share the storied heritage of Charles Krug Winery. And all of this happens 40 feet underground in the Meritage Resort's Grand Estate Cave. To make reservations and get more information, go to meritageresort.com/events. Use promo code RADIO to save 10%.
Community Grapevine.
Join us for the Women's March Napa Valley, Saturday, January 20th. Gather in front of Napa City Hall at 10 a.m., then march to the Napa Valley Expo, where we rally at 11 a.m. with music, speakers, and more. The Women's March is a free, peaceful, nonpartisan gathering for everyone who cares about women's rights, civil liberties, and social justice. Join us January 20th. Find out more at womensmarchnapavalley.org. First we march, then we vote. Hear our voices.
I want to change some things. I want the moms where I live to have childcare they can trust.
I want to make sure my little brother and his friends have a safe place to play.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
help more hardworking families learn how to budget and save.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
Want to make a difference? There are so many ways you can. Help create opportunities for everyone in your community.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I mean, I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Joan Cusack, the narrator of Peep in the Big Wide World on public television. I'm also a mom. As parents, we have opportunities every day to explore simple math and science with our kids. Trying things out, exploring, and asking questions together is the best way to help kids develop the skills they need to succeed. Go to peepinthebigwideworld.org, where you'll find lots of fun activities for the whole family.
Hey, what's up? This is Gwen speaking for Rad. Give up the keys. Choose a designated driver. Music lives. So should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! And stop! Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good!
Let's go drink some beer!
Out with Beer Nuts.
You're listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts. We're sitting here having a Guinness 200th anniversary stout.
And it's good. So anyone out there, I definitely, if you're a dark beer Guinness fan, this will be a cherry in your hat or a feather or a quill, whatever you want to say.
So does it say on the bottle where Guinness is brewed in the United States?
I don't know what it says because it's pretty small, but I can tell you this. This one says St. James Gate in Dublin. So I don't know if that's where Guinness is, but this one is where this one is made. And I guess they've been brewing since 1817, so they've been...
No. They've been importing to the U.S.
Oh,
since
there you
18,
go.
They've
that,
been brewing
be 200 years
since
then.
1500 or something. Yeah. It's one of the oldest breweries in the world.
So the 1817 from... Yeah, making it to the United States, which is a lot.
This one was brewed in Ireland. So Guinness has breweries all over the world.
Okay.
And they also do contract brewing where Guinness supplies a drum of special Guinness flavoring. And if you're an approved brewery, this happens a lot in Africa, if you're an approved brewery, and you make a base beer that the Guinness Brewery approves, they'll ship you the drums. You add that to your base beer, and then you can bottle it as Guinness, and it's bottled and sold as Guinness.
Hmm.
And when I first started drinking Guinness, Molson in Canada made the base beer, and Guinness supplied the extract, and that was Guinness in the U.S.
Wow. I know a lot of people say Guinness tastes better in Ireland. Half the time, I think it's just because they're on vacation.
Everything no, it's very different.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah,
like people
the export,
tell me all the time as a bartender, oh, it tastes better in Ireland. Okay.
The export recipe is very different. Okay. So the export recipe has about 1% more alcohol. It's a lot lighter in Ireland and a lot smoother in Ireland. Whenever somebody goes to Ireland, I have them bring me back a bottle and I'll try it side by side with our version.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the rumor, at least. I mean, I guess you have to go there to actually dissect it and make sure that they're not just on vacation and everything's better on vacation. Wife looks better. You look skinnier. I mean,
also in Ireland,
better.
Everybody's really good about making sure the Guinness tap is clean, and they're also very good at pouring Guinness.
Yeah, the proper trained. Pour or yeah. whatever. They always try to get the bartenders to do, no matter how busy it is. Super Bowl, you better do it right for some of these people. They'll just automatically give you that look like, oh, this bartender doesn't know what he's doing if you don't pour it the right way. So any bartenders out there, make sure you go online and figure out how to pour a Guinness the right way, because if you don't, you're going to get those, I guess, beer geeks that are going to look at you and go, oh, this guy's a...
You know, I had the the person whose job it is to teach all of the Guinness distributors how to teach how to pour.
Yeah.
I had them teach me one day.
Yeah.
And
there's definitely you have to do it the right way or the Guinness way or whatever, however they want you to do it. And a lot of people know about it. You wouldn't think that the general public is that sophisticated about the beer pour, but the Guinness drinkers definitely know, especially the ones that come from Ireland. They know exactly how it's supposed to be poured and how long it takes for a Guinness to be poured. Like, there's a time limit. So the guy told me, like, hey, you get down to, like, you know, your last 5 minutes, you better order another one because it takes around, I don't know, five or something minutes to pour a proper one. So make sure you get down, like, three quarters. You order, you know, two quarters of beer, you order another one. That way, when you're done, you'll have one instead of sitting there waiting without one. So, but, you know, I guess the people that live there don't really mind if they wait. Americans want everything now. Where's my beer now? Why am I waiting? I'm sitting here, you know. So it's a little bit different culture, I guess.
Yeah, and right, in an Irish pub, you're planning on hanging out there for a while. You're not you're not running in, grabbing a bite, and running out.
No.
It's a different environment in an Irish pub.
It seems that way from the customers that I've had. Speaking of customers, I'd like to say what's up to my friends from the Netherlands. I found out what bar they're from.
Oh, yeah, what bar?
Yeah, bar, Door 74.
Door 74.
Yeah, I guess it's a...
Welcome to Napa.
Yeah, it's a speakeasy, I guess. I guess it's pretty popular down there in Amsterdam. So, well, told them I'd give them a shout-out since they called me again. And now I know what bar they're at. Next time I go to, you know, and anytime I'm in the area, the Netherlands or Amsterdam, Door 74. That's where they're at. So, I don't know if you want to try this Guinness by itself now that we had the 200 special export stout. We could try the normal Guinness stout.
You know, I might be spoiled.
Which one's spoiled? The regular Guinness?
No, I might be spoiled.
Oh, you are spoiled. I'm like,
I had the nice one.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and try this just so we can get a taste reflection off the two beers that I have. And anyone who's out there knows what a Guinness tastes like, so we're not going to describe it too much. But I wanted to put it next to each other to see if I'm getting the same coffee sweeter from the 200th Export Stout edition of Guinness. So what do you think? Is it? It seems like the other one's sweeter, right?
The other one is, yeah. The other one is. It's not a big difference, but yeah, the other one has more residual sugars.
Yeah,
this one's drier finish.
Yeah, this is drier. Tastes like a normal Guinness. You know, it's like you say, the light dark beer. Not really too much of an aftertaste. You know, it's nice and smooth, creamy head feel. You know, like the normal Guinness. So.
One of the jokes we've always had in brewing is Guinness, the Bud Light from 1500.
Also low in calories. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, it was the original low-calorie beer. Yeah.
Yeah, so this, I guess it was established in 1759 because that's what the original bottle has on it. So we're going to go with that. So that's a lot different from the 1817. So, yeah, they've been around for a while. I think they know what they're doing. Like I said, it's probably the most famous dark beer in the world. I'd probably say that.
Yeah, and I don't know if it still is. I know in the 90s it was the number one beer in Africa.
Wow, you wouldn't think that either.
No, you wouldn't at all.
Yeah. No, especially being as hot as it is in Africa, right? You think you want something lighter and crisper and...
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I know. I was really surprised to hear that as well. The brewing program at UC Davis is pretty much the premier brewing college program in the country, one of the premier ones in the world. And it in 1963, they decided to do a major upgrade of the brewing program, and they brought in Dr. Michael Lewis from England. And his claim to fame before 1963 was he was part of the R&D team. Actually, he led the R&D team that created the extract so that Guinness could produce Guinness outside of the brewery as long as there was a good base beer.
Yeah.
And then he was the head of the brewing program at Davis there for 30 years. And then in the mid-90s, Charlie Bamforth picked it up. and Charlie Bamforth was the head up until, I think, this year is he's retiring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of years, 30 years in one place.
But 30 years teaching, he taught a lot of beer students. There's a lot of people. Those two men have taught pretty much every beer person we know.
Wow. Right? Yeah. I wonder if he's going to, when he retires this year, if he's going to open his own little, what do you call it, the microbrewery or the micro...
I don't think Charlie will, no. Charlie's hobby is soccer. Okay. And he's written a number of books on Premier League soccer. And I'm thinking he's going to retire to write books. So he's written a lot of brewing books and a lot of soccer books. And I think he's going to do both.
Oh, cool. I mean, soccer and beer go together, right?
Soccer and beer go together pretty well, I think.
That's the number one sport in the United States. The world is soccer.
And until fights break out.
Right? Yeah, hooligans.
Yeah.
So right now we're going to do something special. We're going to add some champagne to this Guinness, Colin. I know you don't normally like to add anything to your beer besides the beer. But we're going to go ahead and do this. And this is a little bottle of Chandon that is probably my daughter's that I stole from her. But it's a rosé, so it should work really nice. So we're doing the traditional, pretty much half and half. Half Guinness, half champagne. Here we go. And this is like the second time I've ever done this. I wanted to do it before I got on the show, just in case it was like totally a miscue. Fortunately, I like it a lot. And people who like champagne are going to like it. And if you like champagne and beer, like I do, you're going to love it. So... it's just interesting that this has been around so long and I haven't really heard of it, especially if I'm in the drink business.
You know, it's one of those things when trying to remember all the names of the beer cocktails.
Yeah.
The old school ones. Black mm-hmm. Velvet was always one that would come in the trivia.
Yeah, because it's pretty easy to make. I mean, everyone's going to have pretty much a dark beer or a champagne in their refrigerator most of the time.
So, and then... I don't remember all of the specifics, but we used to try to remember it. Guinness and Harp has a different name than Guinness and Bass.
So Black and Tan, and then a half and half, or
a half and half is Harp. No, I think a half and half is with I don't know.
Half and half is Harp and Guinness, and then Black and Tan
is Bass.
Bass and Guinness. From my expertise of being a bartender, I'm going to have to go ahead.
I'm going to have to take your word
stamp approval on that one.
Used to try to memorize all those, and one of them was always, you know, you'd get towards the end of the conversation, and then somebody'd throw in, "Oh yeah, so what's a Black Velvet?"
Yeah, right. Yeah, so yeah, it's out there. It's definitely it tastes. I don't know how to explain it other than it tastes like champagne. That is
well, so the. Malty. Guinness is a pretty neutral sourness, neutral pH. The champagne adds some more sour to it.
Yeah.
So it really does change the flavor significantly.
Yeah, I guess if somebody told me that this had champagne in it, I don't know if I would actually get that out of it. I mean, you can taste some of the – I would think this is like if you like sour beers and you're having a hard time finding them, this would probably work for you.
It's just a lot less sour than a sour beer. It's only a little bit more sour
but
than
it
beer.
Has a sour taste.
Yeah, it has a sour taste.
If you're not
a
super fan like me on the sour beers, but you want something different, definitely go ahead and do this. You're not going to not like it. I mean, it is different, though, so you're going to have to, like, I guess, wrap your head around it that you're mixing, sparkling wine with a dark beer. You don't have to use Guinness. You don't have to have... Chandon. You can use whatever you got, you know, any champagne or any white sparkling wine and any dark beer. It's going to make a Black Velvet, so yeah, why not try it? Colin, do you like this, or you have that face like you're not really...
I liked the Guinness before the champagne was better.
You like the 200th anniversary export.
Yeah, I did. I the 200th anniversary, I think, was my favorite of everything we've tried today. And then my second favorite probably would have been the mead alone without the spices.
Yeah. I kind of like the spice. I don't know, just because it's that time of year, I guess. And it gave me something extra to do, you know, which is cool. You actually put bags and heat up the mead and Felt like you, it's like half made, like you kind of made it kind of deal, you know?
You know, and that's what I always like in the holiday season is one more thing to do.
You get the smell, man. You get the smell, the clove, and all the other stuff. I don't know what else they would put in there, but.
A potpourri.
Yeah, right. Potpourri. You know, any crickets? So,
John, who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Well, who do you think's going to make it, and who are you rooting for?
It doesn't really matter to me at this point, you know. I mean, they just signed Chucky for the Raiders for $100 million. I can't even put my mind around that, how a coach makes so much money, guaranteed 10 years. But who do I want? I kind of want to see the underdog win, maybe Jacksonville Jaguars. They got a really good defense. They got a quarterback, Bortles, who can't really throw a rock from here across the street. But, you know, they have a good sense of team, and everyone dogs on Bortles, so his team is really rising against, you know, with him, you know, like the underdog type, chip on my shoulder, you know, your quarterback is no good, and but, you know, their defense is really good. So I would kind of like them to see them, or Minnesota, just because, like I said, it's the first time that they ever went to the Super Bowl, and they're going to play in their own dome. That'd be kind of cool. Definitely not rooting for the Patriots. You know, they've already won a lot. I mean, I'm probably going to have to say this, and I hate myself for it, is Tom Brady is probably the best quarterback that's ever played the game. I think he's beaten everybody now, especially if he goes to another Super Bowl this year. That's why I'm kind of hoping the Jaguars take him out. Philly has an outside chance. They lost their quarterback, so they have Nick Foles in there. But, you know, you never know. I mean, you got a good defense. You know, they win the championships, and it's true. You know, so if I had one team, I guess I'd say, let's go Minnesota. Why not? I mean, Jacksonville, Minnesota, Super Bowl.
You've been listening to KVON 1440 Beer Nuts.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation, where we say stop whatever you're doing, baby, and dance. Because movement is just one of the ways you can fight osteoarthritis pain. For more information, visit fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
Lumber Liquidators, January 5th.